WEOL.
Clouds and 55.
It is 8:50 at WEOL. September is coming to an end, and so is sleep-tember. But that doesn't mean we need to not concentrate on sleep. We always need a good night's sleep. To hear to talk about that and things that may be disrupting us is Dr. Carlos Nunez, Chief Medical Officer for ResMed. He's here to give us some good advice. Good morning, Doctor. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
Did you have a good night's sleep, as best as you can tell?
I did, although I'm on the West Coast. It's a little early, so it was good, but it was a little shorter than normal.
Well, that's sometimes our work life kind of, that's what we have to keep into consideration, right? We have to figure out what schedule we can have so we have a good night's sleep. What's the recommended amount of sleep these days?
Yeah, so the recommendation is always between 7 to 8 hours of sleep. Most people are, unfortunately, we're lucky if we get 7, but at least 7 every night is what you should be striving for.
And that's uninterrupted, right?
Correct. It should be not just I lay in bed and for 3 hours I'm scrolling through TikTok videos and then I sleep 4 or 5. It's 7 hours of uninterrupted asleep in the bed.
What are some of the things that are causing us not to get those good hours of sleep?
Sure. Well, I alluded to one of them. You know, we often go to bed and stare at our little screens for much too long, and you really shouldn't be doing that for about an hour before you go to bed. It gives the brain a chance to start to shut down. But there are also a variety of things that affect our sleep. Many Americans suffer from insomnia, and many suffer from sleep apnea, actually too many. There are 1 billion people on the planet that have sleep apnea, and 80%, so about 800 million people, are undiagnosed and untreated for one of the most prevalent disorders on the planet.
Doctor, can you give us some symptoms or things we should look for if we think we might have it or a spouse says, hey, you've got a problem?
Yeah, and you know, mentioning a spouse or a bed partner or a homemate, there's usually someone in the house that complains about very loud snoring or snoring that sounds like you stop or choke or gag. But even if you don't have someone who can tell you what it's like while you sleep, you may wake up very tired. You may wake up with a scratchy throat or a headache, or even sometimes people wake up drenched in sweat and don't quite know why. For me, the most important short-term symptom is that daytime sleepiness because it puts you at greater risk for things like car accidents or injuries at home. But also, many years down the line, if you don't take care of sleep apnea, you put yourself at increased risk for everything from heart disease, stroke, an increased risk for dementia, like Alzheimer's dementia, and so many other health consequences of not just sleep apnea, but poor sleep in general.
So what do we recommend if we find out sleep apnea, or how do we get that diagnosed so that we can treat it?
Yeah, if you have any concerns about the way you sleep, the first thing to do is talk to your doctor. Your primary care physician should have good information for you. And if they think you're at risk for a sleeping disorder, something like sleep apnea, they may refer you to a specialist, a sleep specialist, and or refer you for a sleep test. Many sleep tests are just done at home now. Used to be you'd have to spend the night in a hospital wired up to a bunch of machines. But for most cases of uncomplicated sleep apnea, it can be diagnosed in your home with a small device. A lot of them you wear on your fingertip, like one of those oxygen sensors that you've seen, and throw it away when you're done. The device will beam the results to your doctor, and they can tell you if you do, in fact, have sleep apnea.
If sleep apnea is the diagnosis, then what is the treatment? We have different devices, and how has things improved over the years?
Yeah, the gold standard of treatment remains CPAP. It stands for continuous positive airway pressure. It's a device that sits on your nightstand and it puts a constant stream of pressurized air into your airways, usually through a mask that covers your nose or prongs in your nose. And, you know, there's a stigma associated with CPAP. People think of their grandpa's CPAP machine, some big loud thing and a big uncomfortable mask. I can actually say it's not the case anymore. I sleep with a CPAP every night. I have sleep apnea. I have these little prongs that call the nasal pillow that go under my nose. The device I have is so quiet, you don't even hear it. It's more quiet than the air conditioner in my bedroom. And so the treatments have improved. There are also surgical alternatives. Some people will, if they have the right type of sleep apnea, you may be a candidate for surgical implants where they put leads into the base of your tongue that shock your tongue, kind of like a pacemaker for your heart, but for your tongue. to keep your tongue from flopping back into your throat so that you don't snore and you don't have sleep apnea. Some people get more invasive surgery where they change the shape of your palate and the soft tissues. That's obviously much more invasive. But to be honest, the majority of people are treated with CPAP. And again, they've become so comfortable and so quiet, it's not the same concerns that it was in the past.
If people want to find out more about some of the things we've talked about today or start getting a better night's sleep, where do you recommend them to go?
Great website. It's sleepforbettertomorrow.com. Lots of information about sleep, sleep disorders, sleep apnea, et cetera. Great place to start.
Hey, Dr. Nunez, we appreciate your time. Thanks for sharing with us today.